Dedicated to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God from all of God's inerrant word, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we're grateful that you've taken time out of your day to tune into the program. You can visit us at agradio.org. All the programs are there, free for download. You can also call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. We are also on Twitter at agradio1. We have many resources on the website for you. Not only are all of these programs free for download, but there's a blog there that you can engage us, ask questions, and read things that were written that we hope to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Romans with Dr. R. Scott Clark. We're in chapter 3, the great truth of justification by grace through faith alone. We're jumping right into this discussion as it's taken from last time. So if you want to follow up with this, go back to the website and find number 11. This is number 12 of the Romans series on the power of God for salvation. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. This is an important moment here to just stop and say, I remember, to be a little personal, I've been raised in the church all my life. I've had the blessing of sitting under the ministry, and I'm not faulting any pastor. If this wasn't made clear, most likely it was. If it was made clear, I just wasn't listening, right? But it was about 21 years old. I was reading this very passage.
Oh, wow.
I remember this to this day. And for the first time, it was like the light went on. Wait a minute. Okay, I've listened to what Paul says. I listened by inspiration of the Spirit of what's wrong with me. I couldn't believe what I saw for the first time. In other words, there is an actual righteousness made available to me by faith, he says here, apart from anything that I do, and it's all of Jesus's righteousness, and he's offering that to me. That was the most beautiful, exciting news, and it was from there that it had changed my life. I finally understood what it meant, how we could be right before God. And it had nothing to do with my works. It had everything to do with Jesus' works.
That's right. It's Christ on our behalf. And Paul says in Romans 3:21, right, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Being witnessed. So in other words, the point of the Old Testament scriptures, and here when he says law and prophets, he doesn't mean to omit the wisdom literature. This is a shorthand expression, meaning the entire Old Testament is what he just said, because there were three parts to the Old Testament, the law, the writings, and the prophets, or the law, the prophets, and the writings, actually. And so when he says law and prophets, that's a shorthand expression for all of the Old Testament. It all pointed to this one thing, this one truth, this one reality, that there is a righteousness apart from the law that has been manifested. And the law and the prophets, the entire Old Testament testified to it. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. And he goes on to say, all have sinned, as we've been saying, right, for these last several episodes. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified, he says in verse 24, as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So it's the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the way of salvation. So the righteousness belongs to Jesus, and we benefit from it. We receive him and it, that is Christ and his righteousness, and all of his benefits by grace alone, that is God's free favor alone, through faith alone. And what is faith here, Chris?
Yeah, this is so important for us to understand. I mean, we're talking about faith, and this is where maybe some people get confused, because they begin to think, well, maybe faith is the one thing
that right? I do.
That I do, yeah. That makes me right with God. And so we speak of faith as if it's some, you turn on a light switch in a room, as if it's something that I have turned on in myself and just decided by my power to accept Jesus. And then we've placed the salvation back on our faith, which is a problem. So we have to understand this.
And this is something that people have done for a long time. The Arminians said, and Arminius said, that it was our faith that is credited to us for righteousness. No, it's Christ's righteousness that's credited to us, and we receive that righteousness and Christ through faith. So the question is, what is faith? Right. And people talk all the time, as you were saying, about faith. And you hear people saying, you just have to have faith. And I have a lot of faith. And this restores my faith in humanity. So we use faith in a variety of contexts, in a variety of ways. And it's not very clear always, and people are not always clear. The listener may not be clear as to what Paul means here by faith. And in our understanding of Scripture, we say that faith has three aspects. You have to know certain things to be true. You have to know who Jesus is, for example. You have to know what he did. That is, that Jesus is God the Son incarnate. He's true God and true man, one person, two natures. You have to know that. You have to know that he came and obeyed the law of God for all of his people, and that he obeyed in their place, and that he died in their place. He laid down his life as the Savior for the sheep. And he accomplished their redemption. And then you have to assent to the truth of that. That, yes, I know those facts, and I agree that they are true. And then third, you have to trust that it is true for me. I know it, I agree that it's true, and I believe it to be true for me. I receive Jesus. I put my trust in Jesus. I put my confidence in Jesus. And you see this kind of faith again and again in Scripture. So that faith has these three aspects. It's right. A knowledge, it's assent, and it's this heartfelt trust, confidence that, yes, Jesus not only can save me, but he will save me. And this is a gift, a trust that the Holy Spirit works in believers. So when Paul says righteousness of God through faith, that's what he's talking about, knowledge, assent, and trust.
Right, and he says that here. He goes on to say in verse 22, so we have this righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law. In other words, apart from what we do, our law-keeping. The law and the prophets have always spoken about it. They've always talked about Jesus. They've always talked about the need for him, for his salvation. Then it says this, this righteousness of God through faith in Jesus for all who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, who are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul will say elsewhere that the whole thing, salvation by grace through faith, is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So your faith is a gift of God, and grace is all a gift. Everything that he's given you is a gift. No, everything is outside of you entirely. And that is set forth as the answer to bring you back into a right relationship with God. This is the great doctrine of what we call justification by grace through faith alone.
Yeah, alone. That is so huge. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And the and here's one of the more amazing things that he says. For all those who believe, and then the next clause is, for, or because, there is no distinction. It's for everyone.
Right.
It's for everyone everywhere. It's for every people group, every language group, every nation, every tribe, every kind of group that you can imagine, right? This is for them. That's huge.
Right. That is.
Because for all of the time from Moses until Christ, for that 1500 or 1600 years, salvation was principally located in one national ethnic group. And now that Jesus has come, the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, so that one national ethnic group, and then Gentile is everybody else. And so chances are likely, if you're listening to the sound of our voice, you are probably a Gentile. right? And that it means that now it's for you. Now, to be sure, there were Gentiles who were saved under Israel, and there are pictures of that in the Old Testament, stories of that. And Abraham was a Gentile when he was first called. He didn't become a Jew until he was circumcised, right? And that's where you see the beginning of that narrowing. But that narrowing was for illustrative purposes, and the Old Testament in that respect, the whole Mosaic economy, was a giant, bloody, violent sermon illustration pointing to Jesus. He's the reality. He's come. And now the gospel is going out to all the nations, from Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth.
This is the best news. I mean, really, you know, when you emphasize this phrase, for there is no distinction. You know, we're looking at that nationally. We're looking at in terms of people groups and nations and races and
language
all that.
Groups and the whole nine yards.
Yeah. But I also think it's important for people hearing this today who don't really connect with understanding a lot of this lingo in the Bible of the whole history of Israel and how this all relates. The question they struggle with is first off, like we've already addressed, moving away from thinking that I can achieve salvation myself, but there's a lot of people out there who realize that they've done so many bad things.
Yeah,
that you know, there's no way God could save them, and this is where I think we've got to listen. There's no distinction.
Yeah,
this is really important for that mindset in our day too, because He's placing salvation wholly outside of us.
Yeah, Jesus died for really bad people.
Right, and somebody asked me the other day. I preached recently. Maybe you were there. I don't know. Through Acts 9 and the Apostle Paul, yeah. And when he was struck down, and somebody said, "Well, you know, that is a great encouragement." If you think about it, because this man was a persecutor of the church, called himself the chief of sinners. If God could save somebody like that who was killing Christians, then He could save me.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think that's the thing I think we really want to grapple with here. If you're listening on the radio today and listen to what he's saying, if he were placing salvation in something you do inside of you, how good the performance of your life is, and you've done a lot of bad things, yeah, you're without hope, you're without God, you're going to hell. But listen, he's not doing that. He's actually saying, the good news is I have given you a Savior over there.
Yeah.
Way over there. Yeah. Way far. And that happened at Golgotha. Right?
That's right.
And so this is where he's saying what faith is simply the outstretched arm to receive that. That's it. Trusting, like you said, resting, receiving this benefit, this work of Jesus for you. And what does God do for you? He throws a robe of many colors over you. In other words,
a robe of righteousness.
Of righteousness.
Which Jesus accomplished and is credited to you, granted to you, placed upon you, so that when God looks at you relative to his righteousness, relative to justification, relative to salvation, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And that's huge. That's the greatest thing that you could ever know, believe, and trust, and receive. And you need to do that. You need not to trust in yourself. You need not to trust in your best efforts. You need not to trust in your good works. You need not to trust that, well, somehow there's a way for everyone to God. No, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Behold, the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, who takes away the sin of the world. And the beautiful thing for you, as you're thinking about all the terrible, rotten, awful things that you've done, said, thought about, planned, right? Jesus paid for those kinds of sins.
Amen. Yeah, just
he knew.
Wonderful.
He is not shocked by your sin. He doesn't like your sin, and in his righteousness, he hates sin, and he hates sinners who are not covered by the righteousness of
Christ.
He
knows fully what you're capable of and knows fully what you're going to do.
Well, that's right. Listen, they laid hands on him, and they carried him, they beat him, and they made him haul a cross up the hill. Jesus is not shocked by the terrible things that you've said, thought, and done.
So, Scott, we started this session. You were talking a little bit about the atonement.
Yeah.
And you'll notice here that right after he talks about this righteousness of God that is provided apart from us as a gift of his grace to bring redemption, he says this really important phrase here in verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Big word. In Christianity today, we don't like to use big words anymore. I think we're embarrassed of some of them, but this is one of the most important words in Christian vocabulary.
It's hugely important.
Yeah.
And what it means is the turning away of the wrath of God.
Right.
Right. And traditionally, theologians have distinguished between expiation, which is the putting away of sin, and propitiation, which is the turning away of the wrath of God.
That it satisfies that wrath. That just judgment.
It's extinguished is one way to put it. So if you're in a burning fire and you're surrounded, you're in a house and the house is on fire and you're surrounded by fire on all sides, what do you need? You need for the fire department to come and to pour enough water on that fire to extinguish the fire before it gets to you and before the smoke gets to you. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He extinguished the wrath of God for all those for whom he came to die.
So this is so important. I mean, to keep reiterating and rehearsing the whole message here. This is not, we've said the whole time, you're not accomplishing this, you're not doing this. This is what God, from his own resources, from his own mercy, from his own steadfast love, decided to do for us.
You know, verse 24 says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Justified is another one of these theological words that we need to know. And that simply means being declared righteous for the sake of Jesus Christ.
So it's a legal. We have to understand the legal term with this, right? We understand this intuitively, and we understand this in society with regard to how our court systems work, how people are acquitted, how people are set free, right? You sit in front of a judge and you have accusations made, and if you've broken the law, what is the judge going to say to you?
Guilty,
right? So here we all are before the judge, before the bar of his great justice, and here are all of our sins. Books are opened, and there's a lot of catalog of sins there. If we go through our lives, every thought, everything you've ever looked at, dear listener, everything you've ever done, God has a record of. Okay, and what happens here? Here we are being prosecuted. All our sins are set there. Explain to me how the doctrine of justification fits in that scenario.
It means that someone has paid the penalty for all the things that the believer has done.
For you. He stood in your place. We call this substitutionary atonement.
So all the righteousness that he did is credited to you. So he acted as your substitute while he was obeying the law. And they acted as your substitute when he was arrested, when he was beaten, when he was tortured, and when he was crucified, and when he died. All of that substitutionary active and suffering obedience is credited to me and to you and to everyone who believes as if we had done everything. We ourselves had done everything that Jesus did. It's all credited to us, and that's what we mean by justification. So the judge, in this case God, looks at us and says, not only not guilty, but positively righteous. Not only have you not broken the law, you have actively, as it were, personally obeyed all of the laws. That's what it means to be justified. And everyone who trusts in Jesus is declared to be not only not guilty, but also positively righteous, because everything Jesus did is credited to you and received by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone.
I mean, Luther, this is what ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is what had been eclipsed. This is what people didn't understand. And it's sad today how many people don't understand how they're right with God. You know, you listen to surveys of Christians when they're asked, you know, how are you going to make it into heaven? All these sort of questions. And the ignorance of this basic truth of Christianity is just, it shows we need great help today, just as we did in the 16th century. Luther called this the Great Exchange.
Yeah.
That my sins were put on the Savior, and this is what he went to pay for in his life and his death. When he said, it is finished, when the wrath of God fell on him, he was paying for my sins, right? So my sins were put there, and what do I receive in exchange? Well, his perfect righteousness imputed to my account, so that the judge says, you're acquitted, you're free, and you're righteous.
Yeah.
I mean,
amen. It's a gift.
It's a free gift. That's the greatest gift you'll ever get. Trust me.
Paul says, justified as a gift by his grace. And by grace here, he doesn't mean medicine. He doesn't mean a facilitating ability. What it means is a free gift from God, the free favor of God in Christ through the redemption. There's another $64,000 theological term, redemption, right? He redeemed us. He bought us. He owns us. And that's why you and I, in our tradition, we have a catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism. And the first thing that we say is that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been bought. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And that price is the life and death of Jesus. He buys us. He owns us. And that's why that gets us to verse 25 that we were looking at just a moment ago, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, a wrath turning in his blood. Right? That's a way of talking about his suffering obedience, his active obedience for us. And then he says, through faith. Now we're back to faith. So it's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Those basic Reformation truths. Those are basic biblical truths that come right out of Romans 3, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25.
Right. So I come back to that question of that lady that I referenced earlier in the broadcast who said, well, I just don't believe that God put people on this earth to send them to hell.
And that's true, by the way. He didn't put anybody on this earth in order to send them to hell.
It is true. It is true. We plunged ourselves in this misery. We've looked at that.
And even if you want to get into the doctrine of the decrees, most of us say that when God thinks about election, it's the election of fallen sinners.
Right. But the answer to that clearly is God put his son on this earth to put him through the hell that we deserve.
Well, that's right. So just as you get ready to shake your fist at God about how unfair everything is, how mean God is, I want to say, hold on, before you start shaking your fist, I want you to take a look right over here at Golgotha, as it were, and whom do you see on top of that cross? There's one thief on one side, another malefactor on another side, and who's in the middle? God the Son, who was perfectly righteous, in whom there was no fault, no sin, no unrighteousness.
So, where is his answer? There's his answer.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, no one can, like you said, shake their fist at God as if God has left us in. He didn't even have to do this. He decided out of the good pleasure of his will to give us a Savior and announce this good news to the ends of the earth so that we can be released, we can be set free, we can know his favor, we can know his love. Sure. Is that his intention in announcing the gospel to the ends of the earth? Absolutely. And that's why we're here. That's why the church exists. That's why Christians are on this earth, to make known the good news of salvation. Who's the fool who won't listen to it? That's the question.
Paul says this death of Christ was to demonstrate God's righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness. So when you get ready to shake your fist at God, you have to remember, according to Paul, right, don't do that, because God is righteous and we are by nature, after the fall, unrighteous. And God demonstrated his righteousness in the death of Jesus. He says, the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of whom? The one who has faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Right? So God is righteous, God is just, and he graciously sent his own only begotten Son, his only and eternally begotten Son, to be the substitute for his people. And so, listener, you need to put your trust in him. You need not to shake your fist at him, because he is righteous, and he's demonstrated his righteousness in the death of Jesus.
He has made available to you a way of escape and a return to his favor, and to have the promise of everlasting life. Think of the promises of the gospel: forgiveness of sins and everlasting life.
And he stands with
what
open
else?
Arms.
What else could he offer to you? He gave you his best. So this is why ministers of the gospel, we'll close the program with this today. The ministers of the gospel have a great task, and that great task is to call people, to call people to believe, to trust in Christ in this day of salvation. And dear listener, if you've come, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in him, denying yourself, realizing that by faith you have everything you need to hear this great truth today. You have been justified by his grace as a gift. Praise him and thank him. You don't have to pay him back. Thank him. And respond with a life of thanksgiving for so great a salvation.
Amen.
Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. Next time we'll come back and continue this great discussion in the book of Romans, a wonderful book the Lord has given us to understand how we are right with God. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.